are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
So flipped learning is basically the idea that you give kids the information before you teach the information to help them, so they already have an idea of what's going to come, and that is supposed to make them more motivated, more interested,
yes.
And it helps teachers to teach because students already have an initial connection with the subject.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources, and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance, and research-based publications.
This week, listen to Ross McGill, founder of Teacher Toolkit, interview Dr. Flavia Bellum, a former science teacher in Brazil and chief scientist at Seneca Learning, an online homework and revision platform used by 2.5 million people in the UK. In today's podcast, some of the things we'll be discussing are Flavia's PhD research into how well people of different ages remember positive and negative information, working in a state school in Brazil and running a night class for over 40s, and how Seneca Learning makes marking easier for teachers.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Talk at the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I am interviewing Flavia Bellum. Flavia, could you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell everybody what you do?
Oh, hi. Hello, everybody. Very nice to be here, Ross. Thanks for inviting me. I am currently the chief scientist at Seneca Learning, which you may or may not know yet, but I will explain during our podcast.
So I know about Seneca, maybe others don't. So could you give us a kind of a quick overview of what Seneca is?
Yes, absolutely. So Seneca is a homework and revision platform that is completely online, interactive and dynamic. And the biggest thing about Seneca is that we are based on science, on evidence. So we use principles from neuroscience to develop our methodology.
Uh-huh.
And now it's already being used by more than 2.5 million people in the UK.
Amazing.
So between students, teachers, parents even. And the idea of Seneca is that we give students an easier way to revise and to study with techniques that really work,
uh-huh.
because we know they work from evidence and research. And then we also give teachers a way to reduce their workload because the platform marks all the tasks automatically.
So you're a teacher also, as well as working at Seneca, but...
I used to be one. So in Brazil, where I'm from, I was a science teacher for 2 years. And then I came to London to do my PhD.
Yes.
And then in neuroscience and learning and memory. And then I started working with Seneca.
Okay, so let me rewind. Could you describe to listeners your own education story starting back in Brazil?
Sure. So my uni degree is in biology.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to be a biologist or a scientist, I guess.
Yes.
And then I also did my teacher training in Brazil, so I got my qualifications for science and biology. So it would be the equivalent of here of GCSE and A-level stages. So I worked as a teacher for 2 years. Actually, before I did my master's,
uh-huh.
I was working with monkeys. So already neuroscience with monkeys and how monkeys can memorize different things with different emotional value.
Wow. Okay.
It was pretty fun. Except for the days where they would throw poop at you.
Okay, so is this for your master's degree?
That was my master's degree.
And
what year
was that approximately?
I graduated uni in 2010.
2010, okay.
So our master's programs in Brazil were 2 years, so that's 10 to 12.
Okay.
Then I was a teacher between 12 and 14.
And describe your school that you were working at.
It was a state school.
Yes.
I am from the capital of Brazil, from Brasilia. So it was a state school in the capital.
Uh-huh.
The average state school in the UK is an exceptionally good school in Brazil. So the average state school in Brazil is a bad school here.
Right.
So it was nice. I was actually working on the evening shift. So I was working with the older people that were going back to school, so they couldn't finish school at the right time and were trying to get back to it.
Okay.
So it was nice. I had three classes. One of them were for teenagers. So I was teaching what would be a subject for people who are aged 11 years old.
Yeah.
But I had one class where everybody was between 15 and 18.
Okay.
Another class where they were between 20 and 40. And the other class where they were over 40.
Amazing.
So it was really fun. It was very challenging because, you know, these people have completely different needs.
So what made you come to the UK? Was it for the PhD or because teaching was, you wanted to try teaching in the UK, or was it just purely for PhD purposes?
It was purely for the PhD purposes. Yeah, I just really wanted to do a PhD. You know, I was still had in my head that I wanted to become a scientist and a researcher.
Great. So tell our listeners a little bit more about your research, where you studied, and then I'll unpick a few more aspects to that.
So I did my PhD at UCL, University College London, here in London.
Yes.
At the Department of Neuroscience, which is, I think, one of the top two neuroscience institutes in the world. My work was about memory and learning, and I was working with younger adults and older adults, so people aged 65 plus. And I was using behavioral methods, so really just measuring performance.
Yeah.
And also the EEG, so we had brain recording.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're just trying to see how things with different emotional value were remembered by these two groups of people, and if there was any sort of like brain signature for the different, for neutral, negative, and positive information.
So I know this is unfair, but could you give listeners a kind of final conclusion, if possible, from your research?
Yeah, I mean, it's a four-year project, so
yeah,
I did a lot of things, but my favorite conclusion from one of the experiments is that people were better, so younger people were better than older people, which is fine, expected, but then when you were giving them positive information, older people got as good as the younger people.
Okay, wow.
And there was this activity that we saw in the brain when they were remembering positive information that looks like the activity you have when you are imagining things, new things.
Yes.
So what we proposed was that these older people were trying to, because it was positive, it was easier for them to imagine, to picture that information in the head, and that was helping them to remember that information better.
Okay, fantastic. So when did you complete your PhD? What year?
2017, November 2017.
And so you've been working with Seneca, or was that something that kind of emerged through your research? At what point?
It was right after, so I started working here in December 17, so right after I finished.
Great.
So, perfect match, yeah.
All right. Describe what a typical week for you looks like in Seneca. What are you doing day to day?
Yeah, I've had several roles here because I've been here since the beginning. Even before we had the platform, I was already working here.
Okay.
So it was different roles. At the moment, we are taking Seneca to other countries outside of the UK. So because our mission is to provide efficient, free and fun education to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is great doing this in the UK, but like I said, there are countries who are in worse situations in terms of education. So being able to help 2 million people in the UK is amazing, but being able to help 2 million people in emerging countries is even better, and I'm from there, so I know that.
Yeah.
So we are, at the moment, taking Seneca to, I'm kind of managing the Latin America expansion, let's put it that way.
Of course. So in terms of the 2.5 million users, what insights are you getting from Seneca in terms of completion of quizzes or courses, how long people are using the software for, the habits of teachers or the habits of children?
So there are several things that we've gathered during these years. Schools use it in very different ways. So some schools only use it for homework. Some schools use it in class if they have the boards, the interactive boards. Some schools use it as replacement when the teacher can't come, then they give students something to do on Seneca. Some schools use it as flipped learning. So they give the task on Seneca first, and then they go and give the class. But mostly the feedback is that it really helps. So kids find Seneca a more fun way to study than the regular textbooks. And teachers love the fact that they don't have to mark.
Yes. So I was going to say, now you've bridged the world between teaching, research, and now offering a online solution to reduce workload. What kind of tips could you now, or insights could you offer to teachers who are busy that want to reduce? What I believe is the biggest burden on teachers is marking. So any thoughts there in terms of how you support that and the lessons you've learnt?
So I think there are several tools. So Seneca is a very good tool, but there are also other tools that help you with marking. There is one called No More Marking.
Yes.
That is for essays. So it's a different style as well. I read there was a UK government report last year about how long teachers spend on non-teaching activities.
Yes.
And I think it was like 55% of the time, which is crazy. So there are a lot of tools available out there to help reduce that. But I think there's also a bit of this school culture. So the SLT have to make sure that the teachers they are there are not really working 100 hours a week.
So what's your are you starting to visit schools with your work with Seneca?
Not anymore. I used to do that. So for 6 months last year, that's pretty much all I did, just going from schools to schools to introduce the product to them and also to hear what they wanted, what kind of school, what kind of product they wanted from us.
And what did you kind of learn visiting all the different schools in terms of the amazing things and also some of the frustrations?
I noticed that schools are very different. Some schools you have a very structured organization, you know, you have one person, then the other one, then this one takes care of this, this one takes care of that. Some schools are kind of everybody does everything.
Yes.
So it's more like a community of teachers instead of like a hierarchical thing. Yeah.
One thing my travels is the schools that seem to be more productive are when obviously you have people with certain roles, but if I come and ask you for some help with something, the more productive schools tend to be able to answer lots of different requests rather than I don't know, go and speak to so-and-so.
Right.
And I guess it's not good for business. If I come to Seneca, I ask you a question and you don't know, I suppose. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to start to throw some quick-fire questions at you. But I wondered if you could just tell listeners to finish off what the kind of aspirations are for Seneca for the next kind of 6 months, year ahead. What are your current projects with Seneca?
Yeah, so there are two main projects. The first one, like I said, is taking Seneca to other places. So I'm taking care of Latin America, Brazil, Colombia, and Mexico. But there are also works with India, the US, France, and other places.
Right.
So that's one. And the other thing is that we got a grant from Nesta.
Yes.
So Nesta is funding a lot of different startups and ed tech businesses to create new products. So Nesta gave us a grant to develop smart homework.
Right.
So we already have smart learning, which is a way that our algorithm uses students' data and neuroscience to recommend the best ways for them to study.
Sure.
What we are developing now and should be ready still this year and will be free for all teachers is a smart homework. So Seneca will use students' data and neuroscience to suggest teachers what homework to set to each student at what time.
Nice.
So it will be another way to make all this learning and teaching more effective and also to reduce even more their workload, because even homework will be kind of automatized.
Now, one last thought on the kind of what are your views on, you know, social media, being always connected to devices? You know, I'm sure I can log on to Seneca after working hours, as can children for homework, and there's no one really stopping me working at 2 a.m. in the morning. What are your views on trying to manage all that mental health aspect with your software for your users?
So Seneca is also meant to be an independent learning platform, so students can log on any time. I had one student actually yesterday from Brazil told me he loved Seneca because he could use it on the bus and on the toilet as well.
Right.
I don't know, just have your phone. So what we do is to provide the software, so the technology.
Yeah.
We don't really deal with like devices or screen time. So we provide the tools for teachers and students to make their study and teaching time more effective than they would be if they were on just traditional
devices.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we've passed the 20-minute mark, so I'm going to throw loads of random questions at you that you don't know are going to come. And as I said earlier, I'm going to play some countdown music to give you a little bit of pressure. So I want to start off with, you briefly talked about the projects you're doing in overseas countries. So if we choose maybe Mexico or India, for example, what are you currently doing in those regions?
What we do is to adapt the methodology that we have in Seneca that we know works into the curriculum and the educational system of the different places.
Okay. Top tips for visiting Brazil?
Oh, wow. Plan ahead because it's too big. People here have no idea how big that country is. I mean, it's as big as Europe, I think.
Yes.
Really, it's crazy. Don't think you're going to be going from one place to the other very quickly. So just make sure you plan how you're going to move between places.
Of course. If I had 48 hours in Brasilia, what would you recommend I did?
Oh, Brasilia is a cool place. So it was built in 1960 from zero. So it's a complete planned city and a grid. We have a cathedral that is amazing. It's completely different from any cathedral in Europe.
Right.
Worth doing. And you can do stand-up paddling in the lake with capybaras.
Okay, great. Piece of advice for anybody working with monkeys?
Wear old clothes and because they throw food and other stuff at you, and just be very patient, because in my case it took 12 months only to train them on how to answer the task.
Okay. Top tips for someone starting a PhD?
Make sure that's what you want to do. It's a big commitment. It's a four-year project, sometimes five or six. So you have to really make sure that that's the right path, because, you know, you may end up losing 4 years of career in a way. I don't regret it. I loved it. It was super fun.
So
I learned a lot.
You did it full-time?
It was a full-time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you know more about memory. What tips would you give to teachers to teach better in classrooms?
Okay, so the main memory techniques that we apply at Seneca and that we're always reinforcing is mainly retrieval practice and spaced practice. So give students a lot of low-stake quizzes that are spaced. So instead of just asking them about last lesson, ask them about last week, last year, last stage. And always with very quick, short, and low-stake quizzes.
Right. Describe to me what flipped learning is.
So flipped learning is basically the idea that you give kids the information before you teach the information to help them, so they already have an idea of what's going to come, and that is supposed to make them more motivated, more interested.
Yes.
And it helps teachers to teach because students already have an initial connection with the subject.
Okay. And what book are you reading?
I am reading right now a short story, actually, I just started today, called Breakthrough.
Okay.
By Daphne du Maurier. She's one of my favorite authors.
Great.
So I can't tell you about because I only read like 5 pages today on the two.
If you weren't doing your dream job with Seneca, what is your dream job?
It would be being a researcher in a different world.
Yes.
I didn't enjoy the world of science so much, the world of academia so much. I thought it was a bit corrupted.
Okay.
So if it wasn't, that would be my dream job.
Couple more. What's your favorite lesson in biology in terms of dissection?
Oh, I never actually done that because in Brazil we don't do them.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, yeah, we're not allowed to kill any animals.
Okay. Well, what would it have been? Heart, rat.
Oh, in terms of organs, I thought you were asking which animal I would like to kill. No.
So
I think heart is good. We had at uni, we had an anatomy lesson where we had a horse's heart.
Right.
And it was like this big, and it was really fun to play.
Okay. Who would you recommend I interview next and why?
I don't know if you've talked to her, Ephra, first.
Yes, I know Ephra, I haven't talked to her. I'll try and get in touch,
Yeah, she's amazing.
Is she based in Israel?
She's from there, but I think she works in the US at the moment.
I will try and connect with her. Okay. Where can listeners find out more about you on a blog or Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. It's at Flavia Bellum, PhD.
Okay.
And I also write some blog posts for Seneca. We have a blog, and you can find out more about that there.
Okay, great. Now, I'm going to pause the music for my last question. What would you like to be your legacy?
Ooh, at the moment, I really want better education for Brazil. You know, I was a student there, I was a teacher there, and there's a lot that we need to catch up.
Sure.
So if I can help with that even a little bit, I'd be very, very happy.
All right, lovely. Flavia, thank you for your time. Amazing insights into neuroscience to make lives better for learners and for teachers. I look forward to seeing the journey of Seneca. And I'll probably be picking your brain when I get into the details of my doctorate and research at some point.
Oh, cool. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Ross.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.